Chuck, sound the shofar. We have an evangelical emergency minisode. What are we doing here, Chuck? What is this?
Well, Brady, there's only one thing more tone deaf than a shofar.
What's that?
That's Kirk Cameron. you may or may not have seen this this week, guys, but Kirk Cameron posted a live stream video of himself at the
Orlando Airport.
Orlando Airport. Yeah, I wasn't sure which city it was. He's a very smug face at this point in his life. I think he's it's like a compiled, compressed, just self-righteousness that's built up.
I would definitely say he's a growing pain in my ass.
Continue the there's at least one 90s TV reference in every episode of The Life After. So he posted this video that's gone fairly viral. It was a live stream that he did of him talking about, he's trying to deliver this like sort of comforting evangelical message about Hurricane Irma coming towards Florida, but it ends up being this incredibly tone-deaf, insensitive, fairly disrespectful, totally missing the point treatise of Kirk Cameron-iness. And it's painful. It is painful to watch.
And a lot of Christians are standing up and saying that it was pretty bullshittery.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of Christians are upset about it. But I'm also like, you know, it's a live stream, so people are watching it and they're able to like comment live. And a lot of the comments that are popping up are very affirmative of what he's saying. And it's really unfortunate. I mean, we're literally in the midst of a tragedy right now in Florida, and you know, just got done dealing with Houston, and there are two other hurricanes in the water right now. I think two, if not just one.
I think one more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Jose.
And
we couldn't wait for the next episode. We needed to address this.
Yeah, we wanted
get a little
just
mini episode out and get this taken care of.
Yeah, get it going. So, so we're gonna run. We're just gonna like kind of play some clips of different parts of the video, and then sort of comment
and then tear them apart.
Right, and then just that's what we do. Roll that clip.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Hey everybody, I hope you can hear me. I'm actually in the Orlando Airport here in Florida, and I've had such a great time this weekend. It's coming up on the weekend. Such a great time these last couple of days. I've been hanging out at an award show for Christian music radio, and Danny Gokey, I got to meet him last night, been wanting to meet him for a while. Zach Williams was there, Mercy Me. I got to host the award program, and it was just a really cool night. I got to meet Phil Wickham, and I had a thought this morning as I leave Florida. Everyone's trying to leave Florida right now. Walmart is being emptied of its shelves of water and canned food because Irma is on its way. And a friend of mine, Jay Younce, pointed out something really insightful, and I wanted to share it with you this morning.
Okay, so the thing with this, the first part, the way he's kind of starts the video off, this is how he starts the video off, and I think it really rubs me the wrong way because he is speaking from a total position of privilege, right? He has a plane ticket, which people are trying to get.
And okay, time out too. He stops and he name drops a whole bunch of Christian music artists. In fact, the name of the article, video is what?
Phil Wickham, Zach Williams, Mercy Me, and Irma, with an exclamation point. Like, Irma's just totally welcome and fine, you know?
Like, Mercy Me isn't all, like, slapping their heads, like, why are you ruling us into this bullshit?
Like, he's totally oblivious to the level of stress and distress and destruction that people are dealing with right now. So he has a plane ticket. The airlines are charging as much as $5,000 for tickets out of Florida because there's such a high demand. I mean, that's just the nature of capitalism, right? High demand, higher prices. And, you know, he's got his ticket. He's comfortable. He's leaving before anything, awful happens. And on top of that, he has no, I don't know for sure, but I'm fairly certain by the way that he's talking that he has no property, nothing in Florida. He has nothing to lose. I don't know where he's headed. I think he said he's headed to Arkansas.
Yeah,
he's headed as far in inland as possible. Now, he has nothing to lose.
Right.
He doesn't. He's not going to lose his home. He's not going to lose his belongings, the things that he's worked for. You know, his photographs. Right. I mean, like literally anything that you can lose in a hurricane. And it's just that's the sets the tone for the whole video. Like that's not even the part I'm most angry about. But he's totally just not acknowledging. He's failing to acknowledge other people's suffering in this situation. Anyway, here's the next part.
You know, Harvey, they say, was a once in a lifetime event because the destruction was unprecedented with that hurricane. There's another one coming up that they say is now the largest recorded hurricane on the Atlantic. This is Irma. And the devastation from that, we don't know how much that's going to be. But how should we look at two giant hurricanes coming back to back like this? Should we just, do we write them off as coincidence? Do we write it off as a statistical anomaly? Wow. Who would have thought? Is it just Mother Nature in a bad mood?
Okay. Hold on. I want to do this fairly.
No, don't be fair.
Here's what peeves me off. Okay. And I know he didn't say this, and I know that Pat Robinson is definitely what we would call low-hanging fruit, and not the type of low-hanging fruit that I want to associate.
Robertson.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not the type of low-hanging fruit that I like to associate myself with, if you know what I'm saying. But I'm sick and tired I'm sick and tired of people talking about hurricanes as if we don't know where they come from, or as if they are just some tool that God is using to teach us lessons. Kirk Cameron goes on to talk about how this could be used as a punishment or a way to remind us to reflect on God. So Pat Robertson,
yep,
you know, in him, and there's also a bunch of politicians that are coming out on all of this. And
right.
Are blaming.
Pat Robertson famously blamed Katrina on gays.
Gays. Yeah. And then the other one is like anybody who votes or to Democratic. Here's the thing about the Bible. Go back and read it for a moment. When Jesus called people out, it was the religious people of the day. If any sort of sin or response to people's stupidity is going to bring about a hurricane, it's going to be Christians who are not loving each other, or Christians who are not taking care of the poor, or things that, I don't know, Jesus actually instructed and talked upon.
Right?
That's what would cause God to punish people, not because people who don't claim to have Jesus Christ at all are happily in relationships with same-sex partners.
Right.
Okay?
Correct.
So then also we get into this whole thing, is it a statistical anomaly? Is it off? No, you fucking idiot. It's climate change. Like, what else? There's 97% of scientists agree that that is what is a true thing, right?
Right.
And they can show it statistically, but the Christian backgrounds that I came in and the places I came from would refer to things like climate change as, oh, those are just liberal fairy tales.
Right. Right.
But less believable than a man in the sky who's trying to punish people.
Right. I mean, we literally have observable evidence that suggests that climate change is not only happening, but that it is caused by human activity.
And what is that? I read an article, I think it was in Time Magazine online, that for every degree that the atmosphere increases Celsius, it's able to hold 7% more water in the air. So what that means is we have 7% for each degree that the atmosphere is going up in temperature, that much more water is going to be poured down in these hurricanes, creating bigger and bigger hurricanes as we have warmer and warmer weather. It's almost as if, like, I don't know, we're experiencing that, and to have two different hurricanes hit in a row, or three now, that are coming, three in a row, it's probably because the climate is changing, not a statistical anomaly, not God just all of a sudden getting mad at things that have been going on for years and years and years in the past.
Right. Yeah. Like literally nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed.
In the nature of like humanity, right? I mean, there are more of us than ever, but we're all pretty much doing the same things,
right?
And yeah, and it's, you know, it's a failure, and this is a big thing for us in evangelicalism. Is the pulpit is a large platform, if you think of it, the pulpit with a capital P, right? All of these churches and all these different places and all of the Kirk Camerons and all of the famous authors and the, you know, whatever. I was trying to think of a guy's name and I can't. I don't know what to...
You trying to name drop?
I'm trying to name drop.
You know, Phil Wickham and Mercy Meme, you're right. My friends.
Anyway, all of this is it's an opportunity to A, acknowledge climate change, and B, you know, spread the reality that it is actually happening, and that we are, you know, decades, months, a year away from like seeing huge, epic consequences for this, if not already, literally right now.
But also shows the my biggest frustration with the Christian church is the political chargedness of it all.
Right.
What is it about climate change that is not comparable or not
compatible,
thank you, with the Bible? None of it.
Right.
Like, you can believe in the Bible and climate change at the same time and say, oh, I should be a good steward of what God created for us. But most Christians are not allowed to do that.
Right.
Either.
Well, you know, what you can't do is support big oil and believe in climate change, right?
Right, right.
And therefore you can't be a Republican and still support.
And it comes back to the politicalness of it, of like, you can't go against, and then there'll be people, older people in the church who, you know, still believe a lot of this, like, back whatever, and the attitude is, well, you know, that was their generation, we just let them be. You know, and it's the same thing where it's like, if you could live through the 60s and still be racist and completely ignore the civil rights movement, that same blindness is now being perpetuated through climate change, of like, well, this is how we were taught and this is how the good old boys do it, so we're going to continue doing it.
Right.
Don't ignore what is right in front of you.
Right.
Don't be one of the people who lives through the entire social justice like movement and walk away from it unchanged. Like,
and
open your eyes
and acknowledge when a stance is politically motivated versus when it's motivated by your beliefs.
Yes.
Right. The Bible does not support a lot of liberal ideology, and it doesn't support a lot of conservative ideology. It's the Bible. It's a standalone. It's its own thing. So if you're going to claim to believe it, and you're going to claim to believe Jesus' teaching, believe that, but don't let it be influenced by your political stance. It's
I knew of one family in a church that I went to that was that understood climate change, and that was something that they cared about. One family.
Right.
And they were always looked at as like they were a little weird or something.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It makes no sense to me.
I came from a much more liberal, you know, stance on that kind of thing. And there are a lot more people that believed in climate change. But still, even on the left side of Christianity, there's a lot of sort of like, well, God is in control, or like there are beliefs about the end times or the apocalypse or things like that, or like Jesus is going to come back before anything real major happens. And it's like, we don't know that. Even if you believe that, like, we don't know, and it's your responsibility as a human and as a citizen of the earth to take care of it. And
there's like this important attitude that there's a safety net that, you know, no matter what we do, we're still going to be safe because, well, you know, the book of Revelation doesn't talk about that, or blah, 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 blah.
Or ultimately, we're going somewhere else. We're going to die and go to heaven, or God's going to restore everything. So maybe that part becomes less consequential.
Ugh, it's so irresponsible. Know?
All right, enough about climate change. There's this other bit we want to talk about. So,
I'm going to look in here in God's Word and read to you from Job. In Job 37, God says through Job, He saturates clouds with moisture. He scatters His lightning through them. They swirl about, turning around and around at His direction, accomplishing everything that He commands them over the surface of the inhabited world. He causes this to happen for punishment or to water His land and demonstrate His faithful love. One thing we know about hurricanes and all weather is that this is not Mother Nature in a bad mood. This is a spectacular display of God's immense power. And when he puts his power on display, it's never without reason. There's a purpose. And we may not always understand what that purpose is, but we know it's not random. And we know that weather is sent to cause us to respond to God in humility, awe, and repentance. Again, there's not a random molecule in the universe, I believe, but that God is the Lord of the wind and the waves. And what this should be doing for all of us is causing us to remember that it's God who supplies our life, breath, and everything else so that you and I would reach out to him. So think about that. Maybe share that with your kids when they ask why this is happening. Remind them that God is the blessed controller of all things. He's the Lord of the wind and the waves, and he is the one who gives us peace, security, and strength in the midst of the storm.
Strength in the storm that I'm about to hijack the fuck out of here. Right?
Yeah.
He gives you the strength in the midst of the storms, guys. All right, I'm out of here. I've got a plane to catch before I have to be responsible.
Yeah, I don't really
want to
be. I don't know if I want to be a part of that, but like, go for it. So this is a big thing in Christian doctrine, in Christian belief, in dogma, is that that God does these acts of power, right? These like earthquakes or, you know, natural disasters. Like, okay, so every worldview has an answer for natural disasters, right? Or at least it thinks about them in some capacity. And the sort of the Christian one is like, well, God, you know, he makes the wind go round and round and like destroys some shit. And then, you know, and then you're supposed to respond to that by going, oh, I shouldn't be gay, you know, or right. or whatever, you know, and it's like, let's talk about basic human nature, right?
Okay.
Like when somebody inflicts violence on you,
yeah.
Say it can be an occupying army. It can be, somebody robbing your house, right? It can be a random sociopathic stranger that just wants to beat the shit out of you. If somebody disrupts your well-being, causes you harm, inflicts violence upon you, your response is not to be like, oh, you're right.
What are they
right.
trying to teach me?
You know what? All this stuff in my house, this is your stuff. Right. Of course it's your stuff, because you're beating the shit out of me. You know, that's not how this works. And if God created us, it's like it feels like he would have a better understanding of how to like win human favor, right? Now, yeah, granted, like, there's an element of punishment. It's possible that this is a punishment, right? Mm-hmm. But the Bible goes both ways. It's both. It's like, oh, I'm asking you to respond and come back to me and love me and understand that I love you, and that's why I ripped your well-being to shreds. You know,
right, right.
And it's insane. It is insane to me. I don't understand why anybody would think that that's how things like that work. I mean, I do, right? Because thousands of years ago, we were relatively ignorant about science and things. And if it didn't rain, we were like, oh, we got to do a rain dance. And then a rain dance evolved into something more. And then we just developed priesthoods. And then we decided, like, this person knows more about God than this person. And then, you know, and then we're like, we should listen to what they say. And then they were like, I have a lot of power because these people are listening to what they say. And I'm going to say a bunch of shit that's going to make them behave a certain way. And it develops into these massive religious systems. But it starts with, like, it's not raining and we need food, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how that develops. But now that we have a broader understanding of what actually causes these are natural events that are caused by heat and movement and you know the atmosphere and just the way that the earth was formed and the land holds heat and the water holds heat a different way and it just happens. It's random. It is actually random. And he specifically says in this video, it's not random. But it is. It is random.
But how dangerous is that too to like try to shove a purpose and meaning of what God is doing into something, into everything that goes on in your life. I mean, he talks about molecules. Like, there's not even a single molecule that's, you know, there on accident. If you walk through your life trying to do that, you're going to be adding so much meaning to things that don't have meaning, and it's not safe. You mentioned earlier, like, being abused by somebody and walking away like, oh yeah, they were right. Like, like, you know, all the gay people who made it through the Holocaust and was like, you know, they were right. We shouldn't be gay. So, you know, that's not how that works. And what makes me really sad is, and this week I wrote a blog about it. It's on the website. It was a letter that I wrote to the manipulation that I grew up with. And that is, I realized that so much of my religion, evangelicalism, mirrored the signs of being in an abusive relationship. That whenever you're told what to think and you're told what to do, and you stick around because you get used to it, and to the part where not only are you used to it, but you kind of want that. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about God doing all of these horrible things to people and us like still trying to be like, oh, but what is he trying to tell us? What do we need to learn from this?
Right.
You know, that's so unhealthy.
No relationship should be like that.
None.
Zero relationship.
Zero relationship. Right. Do you mind if I read something really
quick? Even if you're like, I think a lot of people use the, go for it. I think a lot of people use the sort of parent child thing, right? Like, we're ignorant children and God is the understanding parent, and he's teaching us things, right? But even if that's the case, even when you discipline your kids, however you do that, and I don't advocate, you know, any sort of physical violence, you know, to punish kids, right? But however you do that, everybody agrees that you need to make it clear what, like, you need to specifically say, dictate what the problem is and why people are being, why the kid is being punished, in order for them to understand not to repeat that behavior. But when you have a hurricane, it's just a million people being punished for whatever they're doing, sort of. And then you have Pat Robertson saying, it's because they're gay. But then there are a bunch of straight people that are like, but what about my house? You know? And it's like, you know, it's not clear. And that's abuse. That's abuse, and it's unhealthy, and it's bad.
Yeah, I don't go into my son's room with a ski mask on, slap him around, and walk out and have him try to interpret what I did, why I did what I did.
Right.
You know, that would be bad parenting.
Right. we'll chalk that up under bad parenting. Masks are out.
Sacrificing your children, bad parenting.
Out, bad parenting.
I want to give some voice to logical Christians here. And one of those is a pastor that I really like, John Pavlovitz. On his blog, he wrote on this about, I think the title of the blog was, if your God is an a-hole, it might just be you. But I think too many Christians complained, and so he had to turn it to, if your God is a jerk.
Okay.
But here are the three points at the end that he makes about when Kirk Cameron tried to do this, and this is directly about the Kirk Cameron situation. He said three things. First is, we really have no idea what God does or doesn't do, and just how, if at all, God works in weather patterns and mass shootings and widespread tragedy. It's more likely God has nothing directly to do with any of it. But in the absence of certainty, we should choose silence. And I think that's a great application. Mm-hmm. Number two is, people are wounded and grieving and heartbroken, need to be cared for and comforted and embraced. They don't need an armchair theology about why this is a good thing or how it's a divine personal message or what God may be personally saying to them. It's one thing for a victim to seek and speculate on things for themselves, but something else for us to do that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really good. And here's the third one that's probably my favorite point, and that is, by trying to interpret natural disasters and terrible circumstances, we easily convert them into some sort of weaponized religious propaganda. We end up assigning to God all of our fears and prejudices and hangups. Mm-hmm. We run the risk of believing and making other people believe that God is much of a jerk as we are.
Right. It's in sociology, this is known as totism.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we know what totem poles are, right? Like, it's sort of like a handcrafted, you know, it's a stack of,
I know what they are, Chuck.
You know what I'm talking about. Anyway. And this is an anomaly, that happens in every culture. It happens in every culture, right? Where we take ideas that we like about ourselves and we project them onto God. And then we create a God that perpetuates or reflects the things that we like about ourselves, right? So it's exactly that. And it's also the negative things about ourselves that we think are good. So our prejudices and our, you know, our flaws and our, you know, if we're an extremely violent person, then our God might be extremely violent. Or if we really value, you know, or if, you know, if homosexuality is bad to us, if it's weird and we're uncomfortable with it, then our God is against homosexuality.
If we're scared to death of periods, then we might write the Old Testament. Continue.
I don't know if I can. I think that might be the apex of this podcast.
Yes, we reached it.
We've
10
we've
episodes
done it.
In. That shut
was,
it down.
That was it. That was it. It's been fun, Brady. It's been good.
Thank you, listeners.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. But exactly. Like, or if you're, you know, obviously patriarchal. If mm-hmm. you think men are more inherently more valuable than women, then yes, you might write the Old Testament mm-hmm. again, and a lot of the New Testament, probably 99% of it. So, yeah, we just wanted to. This video just like just woke up and I was like, I can't. I saw it and I watched it. Somebody had reposted it. I think it was not somebody that was in favor of it. They were just like, look at what this jackass is saying. And I was like, had watched it and I was like, Brady, we need to do it.
This is an evangelical emergency.
This is an emergency.
We did an evangelical
this
emergency.
Is somebody
mini-sode.
Call FEMA. That's an emergency.
What does FEMA stand for?
I think we decided it stood for fucking evangelicals messing around. But that doesn't make sense because FEMA is supposed to help the situation and that's
true.
What's causing the situation. But, you know, anyway, I hope, geez, so.
Gee whiz.
The situation in Florida is important and it's dire and it's as we record this, the hurricane Irma has made landfall and is moving through Florida and I don't have an exact idea of what kind of devastation has happened so far or what kind of flooding or displacement, but it's a really serious situation and we encourage everyone to you know, Houston as well, hopefully doesn't get immediately forgotten in the trail of Irma, but you know, if you have time and resources to contribute, people need it. If you can go down there and help, that's great. If you can send money, that's great. If you can you know, do a thing. We don't really have any specific resources off the top of my head, but it is not hard to find a way to help in these situations. You know, this is that I feel like that's just that 30 seconds of me saying help people is so much more poignant and meaningful than saying God's doing this and you should be happy about it.
Figure out the reason yourself.
Right. So
thank you guys very much for spending time with us. If you can get a chance, we'd really appreciate it if you can rate us on iTunes. And
yes,
always remember, if you don't go to church, Sunday is just the second Saturday.
Whoop.